Welcome back, everyone, to episode number 25 of Frenemies. Today, I'm talking about stakeholder management. Generally, I think people think of stakeholder management as like something related to project management, which might be true, but I think essentially all of us do stakeholder management, no matter in what role you work in. And thinking of your day-to-day tasks and what you do in a more strategic way and thinking of it as stakeholder management can actually help you progress in your career as you get more strategic about how you engage with different people, what information you share with people, and also getting a clearer understanding for yourself of what impact you drive. And additionally, being good at stakeholder management brings you a lot of different skills, which is why I want to talk about it today. So as an exercise, if you want to be part of this, you can think of a project you're currently working on or a day-to-day task you currently have, and then basically just map out who in your company and also external stakeholders, if you're, for example, managing an agency, is impacted by that project or by the task you're working on, by your work in general, and who benefits from it. And once you have that list, and you can really think of it in a widespread way. So you can, for example, work on something in, you know, your CRM system, which might in the first place, when you think of it, only impact this and as many people, but essentially it can also have an impact on the general like tech stack you have. So what other departments are in some way impacted by it. Once you have that list, then you can start thinking about how involved are all of these people currently and how involved should they be in what you're working on. So is, for example, everybody that in some way gets impacted by what you're working on, is each of them actually aware that what you're doing impacts their work as well? And hopefully, of course, in a positive way, right? So something that you're working on makes their work more efficient or actually is a big part in making their life easier, right? And then the next step, ask yourself, what are the aspects of what you're doing that matter to them? So these are kind of the first two questions to map out what is the status quo and where do you want to get to? And that is exactly this part I mean with progressing in your career of course, getting better at communicating. Actually, this is why that is important. So no matter on what level you work on, if you are a specialist focused on a specific area, most likely what you're doing has a big impact on other things as well and other stakeholders within the company. And just for yourself getting awareness of, okay, this actually impacts a lot of people and benefits a lot of people, can help you also communicate that and chip in, get more involved in communicating that. So also when decisions are made that might be out of your hand and might be not happening within your department, you actually can communicate what decisions should be made or what factors also go into this decision. And that can help you progress in your skills, develop more skills, but also, of course, in your career of gaining more visibility and making more clear what impact your role has. Obviously, ideally, you are aware of what impact your work has, and so is your manager and your colleagues. But still gaining this clarity for yourself can help a lot. And also for you to map out what are actually the things I could get better at and what skills am I missing to do really good stakeholder management. Because stakeholder management is one of these skills that a lot of times get thrown around and get said, yeah, I do stakeholder management, but it is actually something that is very important and that is also expected if you, for example, want to go to the management or leadership level, that you are good at stakeholder management. Because especially in marketing leadership, what you're doing is basically stakeholder management all day long, right? Not only in aligning with other departments, but also in managing your team, managing different channels, campaigns, and all of these things. So it is a really essential skill. The next layer is, of course, how to engage stakeholders. And firstly, you need to decide on the level of engagement and the format. And for me, this is really important. So measuring what stakeholders should be involved and how engaged do they need to be in this project or task. Some stakeholders require just a quick update, especially if we're talking about C-level or other departments. They do not need to know the details, and they also don't have the time to get continuously updated on all of the details. It just doesn't matter to them, right? So the format is most likely a Slack message or an email, just giving them the key numbers of this is where we are at, and this is what is happening. Others need to be informed of the specific details. They need to have a clear overview of the status, how everybody else in the project or in the task is progressing, what are bottlenecks, and so on. So really get strategic in what level of engagement is required and matches that stakeholder. And then set a realistic course of engagement. Because there might be stakeholders that want to be very involved, but they are incredibly busy. They are also involved in a lot of other projects and tasks. So they don't have the time to sit down in meetings with you every week. So even though you might think this, you want to have this stakeholder very involved, you want them to be completely updated, you might even need their support, you need their approval, still be realistic about what you can expect of them and in what format you can actually get their attention. Because of course, the more you expect and the more you ask for, the easier it is to say no. So what I, for example, like to do, especially with incredibly busy stakeholders that have lots of balls to juggle, is to invite them for 15-minute meetings. And a lot of times a 15-minute meeting can cut it. And if the stakeholder says, okay, this was actually really great, I would like to know more, or I want to be more involved, then you can do a follow-up, and that is then a 30-minute meeting. But 15 minutes is not that much to ask of their time. And a lot of times these can also happen over lunch. So you can always find a format that works and it caters to them and still gets what you need at this point of the project and from that stakeholder. Just, of course, be careful when you're choosing a format, for example, a lunch meeting, if that is really suited for what you need to get done. If you need to get approval of budget, then probably doing that over lunch is not the best idea. And at every stage of any project and a stakeholder management, be very clear about what you require of the stakeholders when you engage them. Are you just sending them a status so they are informed and nothing is required of them? Make that clear. Make clear this is a status so you are informed. Do you need approval of something? Make that clear. I expect you, or this is what I need at this point, is an approval or a sign-off on something. Or even if you're giving them a task, you need information from them. You need them to do something and coordinate with their team. Then make that very clear. And lastly, set clear deadlines. It is very easy for especially busy stakeholders to push things because they have different priorities and they have different things on the table. So set a clear deadline. If you need an answer to your email, if you need a sign-off, then say, I need to sign off within the next 2 days. So of course, be realistic about the deadlines you set, but do make these very clear because that way you're also holding them accountable. And that is really, really important because, well, first of all, it saves you. If deadlines change, if timelines need to be updated, then you can point out very specifically because you are dependent on other stakeholders and you did not get the approval, you did not get the sign up within the time frame that you planned, but also that you required. So set realistic deadlines, communicate them very transparently to the stakeholders, especially the people that are in charge of that. And then that way also manage expectations. So you're making very clear what is expected of every stakeholder and when it is expected. Managing the stakeholders. It's a very fun process of any project, because it can be very difficult. The first steps I already lined out with, you know, deciding on how engaged every stakeholder should be currently is, so if that already needs to change, but also just who are actually all of the stakeholders is already helpful. But then, of course, it gets into the managing stakeholders on the day-to-day. And again, these stakeholders can be managers or C-levels. It can also be your colleagues. This can go throughout all levels. So part of managing stakeholders is, of course, setting and managing the expectations. These are expectations on the timelines, on the outcomes, and also, of course, on the deliverables. So what is actually the goal we want to achieve with this task, with this project? Be very clear about that and align with the stakeholders what their expectations are. Some stakeholders, especially, for example, talking about sales and marketing alignment, if sales comes with a request of they want a new piece of content for buyer enablement, their expectation might be that this gets done within a week. But this request doesn't match up with your marketing roadmap. So you have to be very clear on why should we prioritize this? So what is our expected outcome here? But also, well, this is actually the realistic timeline on when we can get this done. So is this still a priority for you, even though this might take a month, or this might take 2 months, or whatever it is, right? And then also, of course, what other deliverables are connected to it. So again, in this example, sales might come with a request of, we need one piece of content for buyer enablement, but for you in marketing, there are different things connected around it. So you might not only want to create a guide or a two-pager of this, you might also want to create a blog post. You might also want to create a video, an infographic. So that needs to be communicated clearly so everybody understands why this process might be taking longer than expected, but also what other pieces are connected around it and what other deliverables. Then you, of course, also part of managing stakeholders is handling feedback and adapting the course of action. Handling feedback can be a very difficult part. And again, it comes down to engaging the stakeholders and making clear how involved stakeholders can and should be, and what is expected of them. If you are developing a campaign and you are sharing that campaign plan with the sales leader, for example, and you just want to give them an overview of this is all of the different things this campaign entails, this is the channels we're going to be on, these are the assets we're going to create and we're going to use in this campaign, then be very clear on this is just an overview, so you have the information. I do not expect you to give feedback, or, you know, you shouldn't say you don't expect them to give feedback, but you should be very clear on this is what we're planning and we're not going to adjust this based on feedback. We know what we're doing in this campaign. We know why we planned it the way we did. You, of course, are welcome to give feedback, always. But not all feedback is gonna make us change that campaign. And of course, sometimes there comes very, very qualitative, like very great feedback. So you, of course, have to then adjust and adapt the course of action, right? So sales might say, well, we need to localize this campaign for our different markets. Yes, that makes sense. We're going to do this. We'll first launch it on a global level and not localize it. And then after 3 months, we're going to create also localized assets. We'll plan this in. And that, of course, also helps you show a lot of these skills, because being adaptable is extremely important, especially in B2B SaaS, especially in startup scale-ups. Things are constantly changing. So you being able to take this feedback in and adapt when it makes sense. And when there is a lot of validity on the feedback that comes, then it is a very great skill for you to show that you are able to adopt and adjust. And of course, everything comes down to also updating timelines and setting realistic deadlines. Again, this comes back to accountability. So showing, you know, projects sometimes don't progress in the way we want them to or how it was planned. Be very clear about why that is. that happens a lot. So it is not always a big problem. It is not always a big problem, and it happens. But be clear about how you update the timelines, why you update them, and set realistic timelines and deadlines. If you know, for example, that a product launch on the marketing end is going to take 1 month, because these are all of the things that are required, all of the different phases, then this sets a very realistic understanding to the other departments of this is what needs to happen on the marketing end. So if you get information too late, if you get involved as a stakeholder too late, this helps you communicate, well, this is our minimum viable solution. This is the time that we need. So if you expect us to get this done in 2 weeks, this is how the updated plan then looks like. This is everything we're missing out on. So this isn't realistic to begin with. And again, then you can adapt. Then you can still, with the stakeholder group, set or make an agreement and set a plan for, well, do we then still want to go ahead with the product launch on the planned time? Do we want to move the product launch back so we have this 1 month we need to prepare everything, and so on and so on. And then, of course, keep going and evaluate. And the evaluation part, a lot of times in project management, which, you know, a lot of work in marketing is project management, is a part that often gets forgotten. So you run a project, you're running on very high speed, you get everything done, and then, like, for example, a campaign launch, a product launch, and then it is done, and then you move on to the next thing. But this evaluation part is really, really important, because this is actually the part where you learn and you optimize and you adjust your approach. So you get better and better over time, right? For all stakeholders involved. So for me, part of the evaluation is to assess the size of the stakeholder group. A lot of times stakeholder groups can be bigger than they need to be. But again, this comes down to deciding who should actually be involved and how engaged they should be. So the stakeholder group can still be very big, but not everybody has to be an active stakeholder in they participate in all meetings. So this assessment of the size of the stakeholder group is also very dependent on what are their roles in this task, in this project. And yeah, how involved should they be the next time? Is there a way for us to optimize this and to do this better for all people involved? Of course, I think a big part of the evaluation is also always optimizing the timelines. So did this actually work? And is this a sustainable way for us to continue? So if, for example, especially in high seasonality months, so much is going on, right? And you're running on a very high speed, and you might have gotten this product launch, campaign launch, whatever it is, done, but everybody worked lots more hours. It was super busy for everyone. Everyone was stressed. Well, then probably the timeline should be updated, because just because it was feasible doesn't mean it was the right timeline. So that is a very important part to analyze and evaluate. Is this sustainable, the time frame that we did this project in? And then, of course, adjust. Because most likely, no matter what project it is, not everybody that is actively involved in it and executes on this campaign invests or can invest 100% of their time in it, right? So you might have been forced to invest 100% of your time in it in this time, but ideally you also have lots of other things to do and to keep up with. So most likely, if that happened and everybody for 2 weeks was 100% on this just to get it done, this shouldn't be the case again the next time, right? Ideally, everybody still has time left to tend to the other things they need to do for it to be sustainable. And lastly, an important part for me to also evaluate in stakeholder management is to analyze the information flow. So was the information flow ideal? Was there too much information shared with certain stakeholders? Did you get all of the information you needed? How easy was it for you to access this information? And based on that, you can also set up different formats. So for example, is it time to get a project management tool so not everything is constantly happening over Slack and email and all sorts of different channels, which might be very difficult to keep up with, but also not be very transparent, because that Slack chat might be between you and another colleague, but lots of other people should be informed about it. And then it might be on you or your colleague to bring this information on with the rest of the team or the rest of the stakeholder group. So there might be better ways to have a proper information flow, especially like in a project management tool, for example, where people can go into a project and read the details whenever they choose to, and they're not dependent on, for example, an email, or, you know, it might not hit them at a time where they have lots of other things going on and they don't have, like, this is not a priority at that point. So that is the three building blocks on what to evaluate for me. There can be lots of other things you want to evaluate, but I would say this is like the three building blocks that are very important in the first step to analyze. So why do I think that stakeholder management is so important? Because you learn so many skills that are really important. Honestly, actually in most jobs, but especially in B2B sales and marketing. And it is a great way for you to prove these skills. Firstly, of course, communication skills. And again, this comes down to, like, I think for me, actually, stakeholder management is in a lot of ways also something closely connected to having people skills and understanding people. So again, this is what aspects of this project does every stakeholder care about? And this is something you can show with your communication skills of, okay, this person, they are C-level, they don't have very much time. This is not the highest priority on their table right now. So I'm going to keep this short. I'm going to adjust my communication towards them. I'm going to keep this short and straight to the point of these are the aspects they care about. Whereas other stakeholders, okay, I'm going to get into the details and I'm going to communicate this in this and this way. So kind of also connecting to storytelling. So I feel like, for example, this is something you can show in lots of different things. For example, if you're a performance marketing manager and you are showing an overview of how the performance is going, this can be a very big part in it. So if, for example, you know, the CFO asks you about the why spend is up, that is a different kind of story and aspect you want to communicate to them than, for example, to the creative team who created all of the beautiful visuals you're using in the ads, right? Where you want to put a focus and communicate different things and the aspects that they care about. They might not care about how much spend goes into each ad, but they want to see an overall, okay, this is what we see in a tendency. This one is performing better than this one and so on. So again, thinking about this very strategically can help you communicate the right things to the right people and get more strategic into the storytelling part of even numbers and how you show them and how you communicate them. But of course, also lots of other tasks like projects, campaigns, also in the creative team. Secondly, a skill you learn is accountability and keeping people accountable. And I think accountability is one of these things we all want to see in our colleagues and our managers. So bringing yourself that accountability, but also getting better at holding other people accountable is a key skill. It is a key skill for yourself because when you are accountable, you are reliable, you are responsible. And these are things as a manager, I always would want in an employee, right? Somebody, when they say they're going to get it done, they actually get it done. And again, in collaborating, that is also what we want to see in colleagues, right? You want to work with people where you know when they promise they do something, they do it. And ideally, even at the right time and at the deadline that they promised. So that is a really, really great skill to learn. And the best way, of course, of holding people accountable is setting expectations, what is expected of them and when it is expected of them. You also, in stakeholder management or thinking of the things you're working on as stakeholder management and thinking of it in a more strategic way, learn to be adaptable, to change the strategy of what you're working on if needed. You might also need to change the management style, so of how you manage the stakeholders. Again, gathering learnings of what works with the different stakeholders and showing that you can adjust the course of action. And I think this is a really good skill, especially if you want to progress in your career. You might want to go from specialist to manager. That is a really big part of, you know, you have your base foundation of knowledge of, you know, for example, how a full funnel campaign looks like, how to do different ad layers. But when you can show, I have the skills and the knowledge to adapt these to the specific situation, to the specific circumstances, then that is a really great skill to show, okay, you can actually apply all of your learnings. You have the expertise and you can apply and you can adjust. And that is a really key skill, especially if you want to own budgets, you want to own channels, areas, that is key. What you also learn with stakeholder management or thinking of the things you're working on more as stakeholder management is, of course, management skills. Because even though you might not be a manager for employees, you are still managing stakeholders. You are still managing their expectation, setting goals, and ensuring outcomes. So that is very much management. So even though you don't have leadership experience, you learn a lot of management skills through stakeholder management. And of course, you also learn and improve your collaboration skills because you get a group of people together that are engaged in various ways, that are interested in different aspects of what you're working on, and you bring them together, right? You ideally build a foundation of this is why that matters to each of you, which of course is also a very important skill because, well, I think there are very few people, unless you are self-employed, that don't have to collaborate. So collaboration skills are also really important and great skills to develop. So to wrap this up quickly, stakeholder management, for me, a really important part, something you can think of to map out who are actually the people that are involved in your day-to-day tasks or in the things you're working on. And are they aware of it? Are they actually involved? And are they impacted by it? Hopefully in a positive way. And then thinking of it in, you know, engaging the stakeholders, managing them, and evaluating. And really, you can just sit down, map these things out, and then also think about, yeah, what are the skills that, you know, I'm learning through this? Can I improve on these skills? Can I learn more there? For example, communication. Am I communicating often enough how what I'm doing has impact, or should I get better at it? Because you take a lot of learnings from this, and yeah, I mean, improving your skills is always a great way forward. That is it for me today. Next episode, I'm doing a little wrap-up of what I have learned in the last 25 episodes of Frenemies, talking about B2B sales and marketing and the alignment between sales and marketing, which I'm very much looking forward to. And I hope you tune in. Bye.